Good afternoon, all you folks at Hathaway Hills. Again, we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your service through this video. And during this time, we just want to ask that God would search our hearts and draw our hearts closer to Him. And that above all, our hearts would be lifted up in praise to God for all that He's done, and for most of all, saving our souls. And if you're watching this here today and you've never been saved, you've never called upon Jesus Christ to save you, admitting your wrongdoing and your eternal damnation, today is your day of salvation. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So as you listen to this, if you're not saved, think about it. Think about the fact that Jesus came to this earth to die for you. So before we get into the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you for your mercy in each one of our lives. And Lord, even giving us health, even giving us life to breathe this morning. Lord, I ask that as we study your word now that you'd speak to us. Lord, bless these dear people. I ask that you would meet each one of their needs. Lord, strengthen their bodies. Heal their diseases or pains, whatever it may be, I ask that you would just truly bless them today. Lord, bless us as we look into your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Colossians 3, verse 2, but if not, just look up on the screen here. You can read it there. It says, Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So I'd like to think about today the question, is Christ our life? And are we content with Christ? As verse 2 says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Last night, I was just reminded how easy it is to set our affections on things of this earth, things we want to get, things we want to do. How easy it is to set our affections on things that we can see, that we feel like we really have. But it takes faith to set our affections on things above. Verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, is Christ our life? Amen. These verses should be a challenge to us, saying, is Christ to you what he ought to be? Is he our life? Is he our lifeline? He should be, and he is our only life. Amen? I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16, verse 15. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. This world will talk a lot about addictions, because there's frankly many addictions to things in the world. But this is kind of putting a spin on it, if you will, and saying, these people of Achaia addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh, that's what we ought to do. It's so easy to become addicted to things before we even realize it. And then once in a while, we'll get to the point of like, whoa, I didn't realize that was such a huge thing in my life. But may God help us to addict ourselves to the ministry. Addict ourselves to knowing Christ, to communicating with Christ, and to serving others, and to sharing God's love. Who is Jesus to you? Is he your eternal life? Let's go to John 20, 31. John chapter 20. And verse 31. If I can find it, here it is. It says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So we have life through his name. But do you have life through his name? I do. Praise God. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior. I've called out to him saying, Lord, I am a sinner in need of you. Will you save me? And he gave me life, life eternal. Have you? Do you have life eternal? Is Jesus eternal life to you? Is he your Savior? Let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. 1 John 5:10, still thinking about Jesus as our life, our only way to eternal life. 1 John 5 and verse 10. It says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Verse 12, it says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So do you have God? Do you have life? Another way to think about it is, does God have you? Are you God's child? Ask yourself that. Sincerely ask yourself that. It's easy to think that we're all right, because down deep in, maybe we're trusting in some long time ago baptism or our multitude of good deeds, which if you read in the Bible, God looks at them as filthy rags. But these verses are giving the ultimatum, if you will, that if you have God, you have life. If you don't, you do not have life. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Switching gears a little bit. Hebrews 11, 24. Moses was content with Christ. Yes, he lived for a few years in the lusts of this world. He had everything he wanted, ever would need. But he came to a point where he said, you know, I am not going to be content unless all I have is Christ. And that's all I need, said he. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 24, says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I think we often look over this verse. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want that reputation of being Pharaoh's daughter. Now, what did Pharaoh represent? He was like a god to the Egyptian people. There's so much idolatry. And Moses is saying, I don't want any part of that. I refuse to be called her daughter. I want to be God's child. Let's read verse 25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let's read verse 27. It says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So for us to be content with Christ, we have to do what Moses did. We have to forsake our sin. Those that maybe we hang around that are ungodly. We don't want to make company with fools, sinners. Choosing rather to suffer affliction than to with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We have to forsake the pleasures of sin. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. In order for us to be content with God, we must esteem God and having him over than anything this world can ever offer. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. If I can find a book. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serving the living God." Is that what you need to do? Is there idols in your life that are keeping you from God? Is there things in your life? Maybe it's past sins that you cannot give up. Maybe it's grudges you're holding against people. I know not what your idol is, but is there an idol that we must give up and turn to serve the living and true God? Philippians 4, verse 11, let's go there. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Jesus should be our passion. If we're content with Christ, Jesus will be our chiefest passion. Philippians 4, verse 11, it says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Verse 12, "I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry," excuse me, "both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So Paul here, he's saying, there's many things that I have physical need of. But through those trials, physical, spiritual trials, he got to the point where he said, "I have learned, no matter what state I am, there to be content." And we say to that, how? How do you be content no matter what state you are? Verse 13 is the answer. I can do all things through who? Christ. Christ was his life. He was content with Christ. And he needed nothing else. But oh, so often we think we need so much. No, all we need is Christ. Let's go to Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." A very powerful verse. There are many devices in a man's heart. There's many things that we think we want to do, that we think we want to have, and so on and so forth. There's many ways we think we ought to be. "Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." We need to see God's face and say, "Lord, what do you want? What would you have of us?" Romans 12:1. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. God wants our lives. He wants to use us. If God doesn't use us, we know who will. The devil in this world use us to destroy us. Romans 12:1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." God has called us to be living sacrifices. Not dead sacrifices, living sacrifices. Sacrifices that will be a living testimony of God's love. A living testimony of God's character, of what God did for man. Have you given your heart to Jesus? If you're sitting down listening to this right now, you say, "This guy's nuts. He's talking about loving God, being Christ is all. There's more to life than God." Oh, is there? Have you given your heart to Jesus? Let's go to Ezekiel 18, verse 31. Ezekiel 18 and verse 31 says, "Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel. Verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." That's what God's saying to you. He's saying, cast away from you all your transgressions, which you have transgressed. In verse 32, the end of the verse is, "Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." God's saying, live. Why would you choose death? Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God commendeth his love toward us. Why would we die? Why would we choose death? "Cast away from you all your transgressions." It goes on, "and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel?" Why would you die? Have you given your heart to Jesus? If you never have, do it today. I'm going to close, and let's go to John chapter 3. John 3. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, "Oh, God doesn't love me. There's no somebody that I cannot see that came to this earth to die for me." Oh, really? Oh, there is. Think about these verses. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but hath everlasting life." God loved you so much that he came to this earth to die for you. Now, is that not a token, the ultimate token of a God? A God who wants to be everything in our lives. A God who wants to use us and work through us. And for us as Christians, we need God's help. We need God's help to be focused. And as the verse we started out with in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above, not on things in the earth. We need God's help to do that this week. So may God truly give us grace as we strive to serve him and please him. If there's one of you that has never trusted Jesus Christ, may today be the day of your salvation. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank you for this day. I praise you for your word. Lord, how it gives us direction, how it gives us answers for our so many questions of life. Lord, I thank you for your love and for coming to this earth to die for us. And Lord, I do ask that you would help us this week to stay focused on you. Lord, give us opportunities to serve you. And Lord, we trust that those opportunities will be there. But Lord, help us to be willing to be a servant and to share your love. And Lord, I just ask that you bless the rest of this day. Lord, just fill our hearts with praise to you. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus, I pray. Amen.